When Jesus came preaching and teaching the great truths of his Father's kingdom, it was revolutionary. For what he had to say was often the exact opposite of what man's wisdom was saying. Someone put it this way. It was as if Jesus slipped into the display window of life and changed all the price tags. Jesus was a radical. He was a rebel, an iconoclast who was out to destroy everything for which the religious leaders of his day stood. At least that's what they thought. You see, my friend, when Jesus came onto the scene preaching and teaching the truths of the kingdom of God, he was not well received by the leaders of his day. In fact, he was so hated and detested by the powers that be that they ultimately succeeded in having him put to death. Why did his ministry receive so much hatred and adversity at the hands of religious leaders? I think the answer can be found in his teachings. And nowhere do you find the unique teachings of Jesus so plainly set forth than in the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And more specifically, you find his values summarized in the first 12 verses of chapter 5, a passage known as the Beatitudes. Listen to his words as I read. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. As we read these verses, there are several important truths that begin to emerge. First of all, I believe that God intends for all Christians to live like this. As these verses are read, we find a description of what all believers are to be. It is not merely the description of some exceptional Christians. It is his description of every single Christian who will truly live up to his calling. Second, all Christians are to manifest all of these characteristics. In other words, it is not that some are to manifest one characteristic and others manifest another characteristic. These are not spiritual gifts that have been bestowed one here and one there. No, every Christian is meant to manifest all of these characteristics at the same time. Third, none of these descriptions refer to what we might call a natural tendency. Each one is a characteristic that is produced by grace alone and is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. No man naturally conforms to the Beatitudes. And fourth, these characteristics indicate clearly the essential and utter difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. That is why these words were so hated and detested by many people living in Jesus' day and are still hated by many today. They expose the true condition of the heart. Now, in studying the Beatitudes, it is important we understand the meaning of the word blessed. In the 8 different Beatitudes, the word blessed is used 9 times. The word itself means to be happy and filled with joy. It speaks of a condition and state of being that everyone wants to experience. In our world today, we can see people in their endless pursuit of the kind of happiness that will give joy, peace, contentment, and meaning to their lives. But we also see that they are frustrated in that fruitless pursuit, and they always come up empty-handed. It was much the same when Jesus burst onto the scene almost 2,000 years ago. You see, man has always been in pursuit of happiness and fulfillment. Only the times and circumstances have changed. When Jesus came preaching and teaching the great truths of his Father's kingdom, it was revolutionary. For what he had to say was often the exact opposite of what man's wisdom was saying. Someone put it this way. It was as if Jesus slipped into the display window of life and changed all the price tags. What a description of his teachings. He was saying, I don't measure life and success by the same standard that you measure life and success. I don't value the same things that you value. You place emphasis on the physical things of life, but I focus on the heart. You are only concerned with men's actions. I am concerned with their attitudes. My thoughts and ways are not your thoughts and ways. You must learn to see things from my perspective if you want to really be happy. Now, friend, when Jesus came and taught his life-changing truths, truths such as the ones found in the Beatitudes and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, there were those who received them with great eagerness and joy. For many, it was as refreshing as a long, cool drink to a man dying of thirst. But for others, what Jesus had to say was terribly threatening, as it did not reinforce their preconceived ideas and notions. Most of the Jews of Jesus' day expected the Messiah to be, first of all, a military and political leader who would deliver them from the yoke of Rome and establish a prosperous Jewish kingdom that would lead the world. The Jews had been under the rule of several world powers for many years. They were ready to do away with their political and economic bondage and be free. They saw their Messiah as the answer to their problems. How did Jesus respond to their expectations? He told them that their problem was not a political problem or even an economic problem. It was a heart problem, a problem that could only be solved by hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Needless to say, they did not want to hear that truth. Their society was also very complex in its religious practices. There were many professional religionists of the day that were all jockeying for position with the Jews and with the Romans alike. The Pharisees believed that right religion consisted of divine laws and religious tradition. The Sadducees focused on the present. They discounted the supernatural and elevated their own philosophy as spiritual truth. The Essenes believed that right religion could only be experienced by withdrawing from society and living in communes. The Zealots were fanatical Jews that made political activism their religion. My friend, doesn't that sound like the spiritual and political atmosphere of our country and our world today? It's amazing that in 2,000 years, things haven't changed so much when it comes to human nature and man's attempt to find happiness and fulfillment. And it was into this complex religious and political world that Jesus came to preach the kingdom life. He was in essence saying to them, you have tried it your way for so long, and you have always come up empty-handed and empty-hearted. Listen to what I have to say. This is the way to find true and lasting happiness and fulfillment. And friend, the Jesus that invaded time and space almost 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus that is alive today and is ready to give you the same joy and peace. Certainly, he did slip into the display window of life and change all the price tags. Now he wants to come into your life and change your values and standards so that they will harmonize with his. Will you let him in? Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts today and let us know of your will and way for our lives. This world has given us such a distorted picture of what is important in life and of what it means to be one of your children. I pray for two groups of people today. First, I pray for those who have never given their hearts to you in faith. Lord, help them to realize that the only hope of finding true peace is in you. And second, I pray for your children that are listening today. Father, give them the strength and wisdom to recognize that they will never fully live up to their calling until they truly begin to live and walk as a kingdom citizen in this world. Help us to live by your standards and values so that you can be glorified in our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.